Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So once again, Happy New Year. And we've got different ways to look at the year ahead. One is, again, we can be filled with some enthusiasm and hope. The other is we can be guided by cynicism. So it's possible that the motto for the new year should be yet more of the same. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping that 2023 leads us to a place as individuals and as a community where we are more able to fully live into the world that God wants us to be in. However, we've got to get through some of the darkness in today's scripture reading. And I titled today's sermon, The Long Run, and my suspicion is that just about everybody here knows who is responsible for that phrase being in the popular imagination. It was John Maynard Keynes. And Lord Keynes was an economist of some note back in the early 20th century and the mid 20th century. And whether you like him or you think he was wrong, that's a debate we can have somewhere, some other time. But today I want you to think about that phrase, the long run. And in its full sense, what he wrote was, the long run is a misleading guide to current affairs. In the long run, we are all dead. He wrote that in 1923 in his tract on monetary reform. And Keynes was not calling us to live some kind of willy-nilly existence, to think, oh, it's all going to hell in handbaskets, so we may as well live it up now. That's not what Keynes was writing about. Keynes was invested in the future and society trying to figure out how to manage the economy and to live together. So why did I use this slogan as today's sermon title? Well, some of you may remember that I have a penchant for liking to pick out bad puns or phrases that just strike me when I read scripture. And I was trying to think about something around running. And you think about what the Holy Family did here. They fled. They fled Bethlehem to Egypt. And there's something really rather striking about the Holy Family leaving Judea and going to Egypt. Egypt was a place where bad things happened. In the communal memory, Egypt was a place that they had to be freed from slavery. And it was good that they got out. And Egypt remained some large menacing presence on the southern border of Judea, all throughout history. But by the time of Jesus, Egypt had been conquered by the Romans, as had Judea and all of the Mediterranean world. So it was there that they thought they could find some safety. And we could just say, oh, well, that's all good. They got to go there and live in peace and quiet. But we know for people who are refugees and immigrants, life is not that easy. And our church made a decision to announce its support for refugees and immigrants. A while back, we've got the banner hanging over our door, and I'm glad we do. But I'd like us to think for a moment what it's like to be a refugee or an immigrant. And these aren't people who just decide, well, it's time to go start over somewhere else. These are people, refugees and immigrants, who are in many instances forced by circumstance to make a major change in their lives. Now, none of us here today are refugees or immigrants that I know of. So we have not needed to leave our homes behind to start off in a new place. But I suspect some people here have dealt with very severe weather events. I know some members of our congregation lost their power a week ago in the big storm that hit. And others know people who live in Buffalo, which was crushed by that once in a generation storm that came off the Great Lakes. These are people, these are neighbors. Think about that. These are our neighbors. What do we as Christians do to serve them? What do we as Christians do to help them? I don't have a short answer for you, but it's something that each of us and all of us need to pray on. Because there's nothing in scripture that says, help everyone but the people you don't like. Help everyone but the people who talk funny. Well, guess what? To the people who talk funny, you probably sound funny. Everybody is a child of God. Everybody is loved by God. And that's what I want us to focus on in today's lesson. But before we do that, I'm going to touch on another topic that's raised by today's lesson. And that's a so-called massacre of the innocents. Now, I suspect many people here learned about that when they were little. They've seen artwork. They know about the soldiers of Herod coming into Bethlehem and killing all the boys 2 years old and younger. Why did they do that? Well, the first thing to know is there's no historical evidence that this ever happened. Yet the story has come down to us throughout the ages. Why? Because Herod is the kind of person who would have done something like this. Herod was someone who killed his wife, who killed a son, who was very, very, very paranoid about his hold on power. And so he had a reputation. He was a bad man. And so Matthew didn't just make up the story. He may have been working with things he had heard, but it wasn't out of realm of possibility for Herod to do something like this. So think about what it's like to have a ruler who doesn't care about anybody, who engages in levels of violence that are beyond the imagination, and under whom the whole world could go to hell in a handbasket. That's what Matthew wants us to know, that Jesus coming into our world initiated a new era in human history. Jesus was going to be a king unlike any we had known before. And Jesus' realm is breaking into our reality now as we speak. But we have to work to help make it a reality. We can't just expect God to come down and just one day snap his fingers and make everything perfect. It doesn't work that way. Look at the sanctuary. It's been lovingly decorated. And if you didn't come here at the beginning of Advent, you would just assume one day all the stuff showed up. But it didn't. We had to go into the closets and in the basement to find stuff to put it out. And then many members of our congregation showed up and decorated the pews and brought up the tree and made all of this happen. We have to work to help create the world that God wants. It's not someone else's job. It's your job. It's my job. It's our job. So I could depress you all by talking more about the massacre of children. And frankly, that's a really heavy topic for a sermon on any Sunday, let alone New Year's Day, when we're hopefully filled with thoughts about a good new year. But let's try to do our work as Christians to help make something like the massacre of the innocents something that is in a book. We want to live in a world where that kind of abuse of power and of people is not possible. And we can do that by speaking up. We can do that by being involved. We can do that by lobbying our legislators, doing all of the things we know we're supposed to do as good citizens. But I encourage you to be involved, not just because you want to be a good citizen, but be involved because you take your call as a Christian seriously. In the long run, Herod wanted his problems to go away. And all I can say for sure is that in the long run, Herod was dead. But he caused a lot of hurt and harm along the way. What are people going to say about us? People will talk about us after we're gone. And my hope is that they will speak fondly and warmly and say that we were good folks who did the right thing. But we have to work to make that happen. Our reputations will follow us into the future. So, Happy New Year. And I wish you all the best in the months ahead. And I hope that you experience the joy of the Lord and that together we can build the kind of world that God would want us to live in. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for the blessings in our lives. Help us to always appreciate them and to not take them for granted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.